We're in part four of a series on how God meets your deepest needs through the church. And you know, a church that's built, and this is one of the things we learned out in California, there are five major purposes for the church. Evangelism, we talked about that last week. Worship, discipleship, ministry, fellowship, we talked about that the first week. All of those things God uses within the church to meet our deepest needs. And it is the foundation upon which a wonderful church is built. And so that's what we're doing, is we are laying the foundation. A church can be large and healthy, or it can be, a church can be small and healthy. A church can be large and unhealthy and flabby. A church can be small and unhealthy and flabby. It all has to do with balance and with the health of the church. And so tonight we're looking at worship and how we worship, particularly when we are worshiping with other people, and how it changes us and transforms us. You know, I was thinking this week that one of the arguments that atheists have to come up against is the fact that why do human beings basically desire to worship? I mean, we are hardwired for worship. And if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something. I can promise you that. And the amazing thing is, around the world, in every single culture, in every different part of the world, people worship God in different ways and in different styles, and not even in the same belief system. Why? Because we are hardwired for worship. The scripture says God has put eternity in our hearts. And so there's a desire there to worship God. So why is it that people automatically have a desire to know God and to worship God within themselves? In this world, there are about 600 million Buddhists. There are about 800 million Hindus. There are 1.4 billion Muslims in the world, about 15 million Jews, and there are 2.2 billion Christians in this world who say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the largest organization on the planet Earth. As a matter of fact, it's larger than China. It's larger, matter of fact, as India and China put together. People have a desire to worship, and the actual number of atheists, it's very, very small. Unless you're a professor with tenure, or you live in Manhattan, there are very few, statistically, very small percentage of people who are atheists. The bottom line is, the reason why is we are wired for worship. If you've ever gone to a rock concert and you've seen people waving their phones, that's about as close to worship as you're going to get. So you're going to worship God, or you're going to worship something. So today I want us to look at the question, why we want to worship. And I have it here on your outline. I want you to write these down. I gave you a definition for worship. Would you write this down? Worship is expressing our love and gratitude to God. Worship is expressing our love and gratitude to God for who He is, what He's done, what He said, and what He's promised to do. Now that's a mouthful, so let me read it again. Worship is expressing our love and gratitude to God for who He is. We adore Him. That's adoration. For what He's done. That's gratitude. That's thanksgiving. For what He said in the Word, and for what He's promised to do. You see, any time you express your love to God, you're worshiping. Now, a lot of people think the only way to worship is music. Worship, a worship tool is music, but worship is much, much more than just music. And we're going to look at that tonight. Mark 12, look on your outline. Jesus said this, the most important command of all is this. We must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. One day they asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? He said, here it is. Love God with all your heart and your soul and your strength. Love God emotionally. Love God physically. Love God practically. Love God with every area of your life, even mentally. So I want to ask this question. How do we express our love to God? Or why do we? Why do we express our love to God? I could give you 25 reasons, but for the sake of time, I'm going to give you four. Number one, write these down. We worship God because we were made to be loved by God. We were made to be loved by God. And because God loves us, we inevitably love Him back. Look at 1 John 4:19. We love because God first loved us. Now, if you don't feel like worshiping, that tells me that you don't really realize how much God loves you. You don't really realize how strong His unconditional love for you is if you don't feel like worshiping. Our worship is to the response to His love. Our love for God is because He first loved us. And number two, write this down. Why do we worship the Lord? Well, let's look at this verse, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. He created the universe, and His unchanging plan, notice that phrase, it has never changed. He wanted to adopt us into His own family by bringing Him to himself through Christ Jesus. And that gives Him great pleasure. Why do we worship God? Because we love Him. And why do we love God? Because He loves us. And we were created to have a loving relationship and friendship with God. There's a God-shaped vacuum within you that you can't fill any other way. Number two, why do we worship? We worship because everything comes from God. Write that down. Everything comes from God. You look around. The air I breathe, the air you breathe, your heartbeat, your body, the water you drink, the food you eat, the sunshine, everything that you have comes from God. So not only did God create you and is worthy of your worship, but He created the world that now sustains you. You know, in 1 Chronicles, David collected the largest offering in history. He was raising money for the temple. And matter of fact, it was around, in today's terms, if I remember correctly, about $300 million. That's pretty good for one offering. And yet that's what David did in 1 Chronicles. And notice what David said in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. These gifts, he's talking to God, these gifts do not really come from me and my people. He's talking to God. Everything comes from you. And we can only give back to you. We can only give you back what you have given us. So why do we worship? Why do we express our love to God? Because He loves us. He created us. We were made to be loved. And number two, because everything in your life comes from God. The third reason we worship God is because we understand, write this down, we understand life through worship. We understand life through worship. Every time you focus on God, every time you come into God's presence, you drown out everything else, and you center in and focus on God, and you worship God, it raises your perspective. It changes your attitude. It broadens your understanding. And all of a sudden, things start making sense to you. How many of you have had the experience where you walked into a worship service and you're thinking to yourself, man, I have so many problems. I'm about to go under. I feel like I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm almost ready to give up. And yet, that particular day, there's something the pastor taught from God's word, and all of a sudden you got it. And you thought, Now it makes sense. Now I get it. Now I know what the solution is, and I know what the problem has been. Well, that's exactly what happened to David in Psalm 73. Look at this. David said, I tried to understand it all, the problems that were in his life. Look at this. But he said, it was just too hard for me to see. I just couldn't see it. Until, notice this, until I went into the temple of God. He says, then I understood what was happening. You see, all of a sudden when he goes into God's temple, he gets God's perspective. He gets God's wisdom. And you and I get God's wisdom when we worship. We get it from the Word. We get it from His presence. Then you really begin to understand what is happening. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me, well, you know, I can worship God out in nature. And you can. God created nature. You can worship God in nature. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I worship God on the golf course. But when I really pressed him on it, the fact was he wasn't doing any worshiping at all. He was just playing golf. You can worship in nature because God created nature. God said, you know, God didn't make a skyscraper, did he? He put them in the Garden of Eden. So you can worship God in nature, but you cannot fellowship by yourself. You can't involve other people in the act of worship. Now I want to say something to you. Personal worship is a good thing. It's very, very important. But I want you to also know that just as important is corporate worship. Group worship is just as important. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. And if you only have personal worship, but you don't have group worship, you're missing out on the larger perspective that comes when you meet together in God's house to worship. David said, when I went into the temple, then I understood what was going wrong in my life. And you know, you might not get that anywhere else. Now, there's a fourth reason we worship. Write this down. There's a fourth reason we worship together. It is because God strengthens us through worship. God strengthens us. He not only helps us understand better, we not only get a bigger perspective, but we also get a clearer conviction. And we see things differently. And we get energy. And we get power. And we get strength. How do we get it? We get it through worship. I don't know how many times I've walked into this building and be so tired from a long day. And when that music starts and the people, all of us together, begin to worship God and focus on God, it's like I'm being infused with strength from Almighty God. The strength flows through me. And it's because we are worshiping God together. There's so many passages on how worship is designed to strengthen you. That when you focused on God, when you love and you express that gratitude to God, He strengthens your soul. He strengthens your body. He strengthens your mind. Psalm 18. I love this in the Contemporary English Version. He says this, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. What does that mean, you keep my lamp burning? Well, if a lamp is based on oil, sooner or later you're going to run out of oil. Just like in your car. If you don't stop and get gas, you're going to run out of gas. How many times have you ran out of emotional gas? And you know, when that happens during the week, you need to be refilled. You got to get recharged, just like you got to plug that phone in and get that thing recharged. How do you do that? By going to worship. Look at it again. Lord, when I come and I worship you, you keep my lamp burning. You keep me bright. You keep me sharp. You keep me on fire. You keep me lit up. You turn darkness into light. You're going to miss that if you're not in corporate worship. He says this, he continues, you help me defeat the enemies of my life. Because you know that when you come to worship God, God gives you the strength to defeat those things that irritate you, those things that normally would defeat you, that pick at you and gnaw at you and nip at your heels. He says, you defeat the enemies of my life. Your way, Lord, is perfect and your word is correct. So he shows us the right way and then he tells us the right thing to do. Look at it. He says, you are a shield for those who run to you for help. He says, you give me protection. Then look at it again. He says, you give me strength and you guide me right. Wow. Bam. That's exactly what happens when we worship. I get spiritual strength, but I also get spiritual instruction from God. And that's just as important. I get the right way to go and God gives me the energy and God gives me the strength to keep on keeping on. Now, what kind of worship does God love? What kind of worship does God, what makes God smile when we worship? Because the Bible says very clearly there's a right way to worship and there's a wrong way to worship. I want you to write this down. The right way to worship is whole hearted worship. Look in 2 Chronicles 31. God loves wholehearted worship. It's the opposite of half-hearted. It's the opposite of what Jesus said. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. It's the opposite of just going somewhere and going through a ritual and just repeating the same words over and over again. That's half-hearted. He said, I love wholehearted worship. Look at it in 1 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles. I love this in the paraphrase. Hezekiah dedicated his life to serving God. And that's what the Bible says. Everything he did in worship in God's temple, so that's corporate worship. Everything he did in worship in God's temple, he did wholeheartedly. Now notice that phrase, wholeheartedly. Oh, and by the way, look what the rest of the verse says. He was very successful and he prospered. Hezekiah was one of the most prosperous kings to ever reign over Israel. Why did God prosper him? Why did God give Hezekiah such amazing success? Because he worshiped God wholeheartedly with all of his heart. He passionately worshiped God. You see, folks, you've got to love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. You've got to love God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind. Don't be like the people Jesus talked about when he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus said, true worshipers in John, write this in the margin, John 4:23. Jesus said, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worship the Father seeks. So we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, how do I worship? How do I worship? You know, I think about what David said. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How do I worship? Well, I want to give you some tips here. Again, there could be many, but I'm going to give you what I consider the top five. And by the way, I misnumbered them at the bottom. It jumps from 3 to 5 or something like that. But you know where I'm going. It's 5 total, okay? No perfect people allowed here. And I didn't realize it till I got them printed. So how do I worship? How do I tell God that I love him? Now I want to give you some very practical acts of worship. So write this down. The first one is what we're doing right now. Number one, you can worship God, write this down, by listening and responding to God's word. By listening and responding to God's word. See, I am teaching you God's word. And what you're doing right now is an act of worship. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather all the people together, men, women, children, and immigrants living in your towns. He's talking about visitors, people who weren't citizens yet. He said, gather all the people together, men, women, children, immigrants living in your town, so that everyone can listen and learn to respect the Lord and carefully obey everything in His Word. Now notice, the Scripture says this is something we do together. We worship together. We gather together. We get up and we go to a place of worship. Are you doing that every week? Or once a month? Or every other week? That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to gather together. And how do you do? How do you listen carefully? By doing what you're doing right now. Taking notes. And writing. You know, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. And one of the most depressing statistics to pastors, and this was some kind of Air Force study, but they found that within 72 hours of you hearing a speech or a sermon like this, you forget 95%. That means by Wednesday, you've forgotten 95% of what I'm saying right now. So that's why you take notes. That's why you write them down. That's kind of frustrating when you can spend all week preparing to teach a message, and then you know that by Wednesday, 95% of it you're going to forget. That could be discouraging if I thought about that a lot. But that's why you're taking notes. Listen carefully. But it's not enough to just take notes. You've got to do. You know, the Bible says don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Look at John 13:7. Now that you know these things, you would be blessed, what? Say it with me. If you do them. He didn't say you'd be blessed if you know them. He said you'd be blessed if you do them. And then he says, now you know these things and you will be blessed if you do them. Taking notes are a part of worship. It helps you to have a to-do list, and you can look at it later during the week and have a to-do list of things that you want to do when worship is over. Now let's go to the second way to worship. And this is one we all know well. I can worship God. I can show my love to God by singing to Him. By singing to Him. When we sing to God with our whole heart, and it's not some half-hearted singing, it's singing with our whole hearts. You know, I've been in churches where, you know, it was like a funeral on Sunday morning. That's not wholehearted worship. That's half-hearted. When we sing with all of our heart, remember, God loves wholehearted worship. Psalm 32, I love this in the Message. It says, celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All of you with honest hearts, all of you, raise the roof. I love that. Raise the roof. I felt like we were going to do that a moment ago. Worship is meant to be a celebration. It's not a funeral. It's meant to be a festival, a joy, not a time of sadness. He says, sing together. You know, he said, I was glad. He didn't say I was sad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Or I was bored when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Or, oh, brother, I've got to go into the house of the Lord again. No, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is not a duty, it's a delight. We celebrate together. We sing together. We worship God together. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, boy, if you heard me sing, you'd know. You know, I'm like the guy that said that when he was singing that he always felt like he was in prison because he was always behind a few bars and he lost the key. Well, that's the way I feel when I'm singing. I mean, sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to quench the Holy Spirit. But look, it says make a joyful noise, and I can do that. I can make a joyful noise. Anybody can do that. So you don't have to be on key to sing with all of your heart. And you know what? When you sing by yourself, you notice that. But when you're singing with 60, 70 people, when you're singing with 200 people, you know, and you're all singing together, you don't notice that. The Bible says we sing together and that it's an act of worship. worship and music go together, because music is God's gift of expressing emotions. And all of the emotions that we've known through mankind have been expressed through music. You know, there are radio stations that are just dedicated every single hour of the day. You know, love songs. Love songs. Because it's a way of expressing emotion. Listen, don't worry about thinking, oh, I've got to have the right tone. I've got to have the right tune. Listen, it's detrimental to your spiritual health to not worship the Lord with all of your heart. If you don't join in, you're missing an important part of worship. So learn to sing these songs. I want to tell you something about praise. Praise is a mood lifter. It's an antidote, I often say, to depression. And when you feel depression, when you feel things coming on to you that you know that are of God, not of God, then you need to begin to worship God and sing unto Him. And you will be amazed at how quickly those things will go. Let's go to the third way that we can worship God. The third way we worship God is by talking to God together in prayer. By talking to God together in prayer. Now, of course, you can pray on your own time. But you know, there's added power when we pray together. The Bible says when two or more or three agree on anything, it shall be done. There's additional power when we pray together. Acts 1 verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. You know, we would have the kind of church they had in the New Testament in the book of Acts. We would see the kind of miracles that they saw in the book of Acts if we prayed as much as they did in the book of Acts. Paul talks about the importance of prayer in corporate worship. Look at Romans 1:12. He said, we must help each other with the faith we have, and your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. So when we're praying together, and we're praying for the same thing, that builds my faith. That builds your faith. You don't get that when you're praying all by yourself. There's an additional element of prayer power that happens when you pray with other people. That's why praying together is an integral part of worship. You know, one of the things I've learned, it took me many years to learn this, but one of the things about a relationship, a friendship, whatever, if you're going to build that relationship, you've got to communicate. And I want to say to you tonight, if you want to build your friendship with God, you got to talk to Him. You got to talk to Him all the time. And it's just like if you never talk to your spouse or you never talk to your best friend, after a while you'd begin to doubt that they loved you. But see, if you really love God, you're going to want to be talking to Him all the time. And what do you talk to God about? Well, whatever's interesting to you. You can talk to God about your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your hurts. You can talk to God about your conflicts. You can talk to God about anything. Nothing is off limits. In a loving relationship with God, He wants to hear everything that is a concern to you. He wants to hear that. So talk to Him. Prayer, again, is not a duty. It is a privilege. And listen very carefully. If you don't feel close to God tonight, there's a simple remedy. Talk to Him more. Talk to Him more. Prayer is an act of worship, but particularly when we pray together, there's power in group prayer. So when you pray, whether it's at the ladies' Bible study or you pray with other people, and we pray here as Paul was leading us in prayer a while ago, that's one of the reasons we go to church, so that we can pray together. Now, another important act of worship. What is this, number five? Or number three, number four. Okay, here it is. The fourth or fifth way that we offer our worship to God, depending on. Number five is recommitting our lives to God. You know, when you accept the Lord into your life and you say, I need Jesus to be my Savior, but there are times that's salvation. But part of worship, and it's a very critical part of worship, is recommitting our lives to God. Look at what Romans 12:1 says. Because of God's great mercy to you. In other words, because God has been so good to you, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him, dedicated in serving Him in a holy and a pleasing way. Now I want to just stop here for a minute and look at this verse. First it says, because of God's mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. He's merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. So mercy takes all of the bad and grace gives us all of the good. And he says here, because of God's great mercy, because of God's grace, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice. That means you say, God, I'm giving you myself. I'm committing myself. I want to be a living sacrifice. Now, you know the old problem with living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar. And sometimes that's what happens in between Sundays. God, I give you my life. I give you my time. I give you my energy. I give you my money. I give you my future. I give you my reputation. But by Tuesday, we've crawled off the altar. We sing with our Christian brothers and sisters about marching forward in the Lord's army. Onward, Christian soldiers. But sometimes as early as Monday, we go AWOL. We leave. We just leave. And the Bible says you're to offer your life as a living sacrifice, dedicated to serving Him. And that is an act of worship. God, I want to serve you this week. God, I want to be in your will this week. God, I want to serve you this week. And by the way, Sunday is the first day of the week, not Monday, Sunday. So no better time than the first day of the week to say, God, I want to serve you this week in a way that is pleasing to you. That is a spiritual act of worship. Underline that. A spiritual act of worship. And do you know every time you make a spiritual commitment, a spiritual decision, you are participating in worship. Now let's go to the last one. Number 5 or number 6, I think, on your outline. The 6th act, and there's so many others. We could have mentioned baptism. We could have mentioned communion. But number 6, the 6th way to worship, write this down. I show my love to God by giving back some of what God has given me. By giving back some, I worship God. I show my love to Him by giving back some of what God has given me. You know, you can give without loving, but you cannot love, not really, without giving. Man, when I first fell in love with Donna, I could not keep money in my pocket. It was like burning a hole. I had to spend on her all the time. Why? I was in love with her. And I just wanted to buy her things. Because when you love somebody, you want to be generous with them. You want to give to them. The Bible says God so loved the world that He what? Gave. So in giving back to God, we don't give out of duty. We don't give out of pressure. In fact, I want to tell you, never give because somebody pressures you to give. Give out of love. And if you don't give out of love, then you're not giving wholeheartedly. Because when you love God wholeheartedly, you're going to give to Him because giving is an act of worship. A lot of people don't understand that. 1 Corinthians 16:2, the Living Bible says, on every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you've earned during the week. What's the Lord's Day? It's the first day of the week. And put aside something you've earned in the past week and give it back. Notice that. Give it back to God as your offering. The amount, look at it, depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. Now that's pretty basic. That's proportional giving. If you made a lot of money this week, then you give a lot back to God. If you made a little money to God this week, then you just give a little bit back to God. If you made no money this week, then you don't give anything back to God. That's pretty fair. I mean, you can give a penny if you have to, like the woman who gave the penny. But it's your attitude that God blesses. And one of the most important things that you can do, one of the most important ways that you can worship God is by giving back to God. Now, the amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Now, the Bible uses the word tithe. That's 10%. It means if you earn 1,000, you give God 100. If you earn 100, you give God 10. And you know what we have discovered? That tithing is just the beginning point for us. And when I wrote my check tonight and I put it back there in that back offering place, that was an act of worship for me. And it's not always easy to do that. But I give back to God because I see that as an act of faith. I see that as an act of worship. And I have tested it over these years, and I've seen it over and over again. It's almost like playing a game with God. The more I give God, the more He blesses me. And it just, who can outgive who? And He just blesses over and over and over again. So the amount depends upon what the Lord has helped you to earn. So that's a way that you worship God. Now, let me just close by saying this. God doesn't live in buildings. He lives in people. And you become a part of the temple of God when you're part of a local church family. And in Christ's body, you're built together to become the temple of God. What a great thought that I want you to think about that this week. When you're part of Christ's body, we're built together to build the temple of God. I'm going to be praying for you this week. We love you so much. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, I thank you for this service tonight. I thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, we want to worship you wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. But Lord, with all our hearts and minds and souls, we give worship unto you. We love you, Lord. We adore you. We praise you tonight. We honor your name. Everything we have, Lord, it comes from you. We give you thanksgiving tonight. And adoration, and adulation, because we love you. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we'll not forget what we've heard tonight. The Lord, help us to review it and to walk this out in practical steps, beginning tomorrow, beginning tonight, to begin to practice the different ways that we can worship you with our whole heart. Lord, help us to do that. And not to just be hearers, but to be doers. In the name of the Savior, we pray. Amen.